Father, we thank you for this psalm, for David who wrote it, for all you did for him and in him and through him, and for what we can learn from what he has written. Ask that you would open our ears and enable us to hear what you want us to hear from this evening. In your name, amen. You might want to keep it open. It's page 631. It's a wonderful psalm. It's one of many written by David. Interestingly, David was a descendant of Jacob and an ancestor of Jesus, which places him roughly halfway between our recent sermon series on Jacob and Christmas, the birth of Jesus. It's very personal to David. He was generally recognised as the greatest king, human king, of the people of God, and also in many ways the most transparent. He told it like it was in his writings. You'll be familiar with other psalms he wrote, particularly Psalm 51, when he was just about at the pits at the bottom, after his problems with Bathsheba. Understating it somewhat. But he was very open with God then, and he is here as well in his praise. So we see him in good times and bad. We see him fighting for God, literally and metaphorically, also hitting some murky depths, but he never gave up. That's a great example for us, isn't it? He never gave up following the God who had called him to be initially unlikely, because he was so young, and totally unique king of God's people. So here is Psalm 145. Now if you glance at it, just quickly look through it, I have to keep turning the page, I'm afraid, you will see that God is the subject of every verse. He only refers to himself in verses 1 and 2 and 5 and 6. Those are the only times he refers to himself at all. The rest is all about God. And it's all in the context of praising, glorifying and worshipping God, who was his inspiration, his strength, his shield and his comfort. The final verse, if you flip over and look at it, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And you feel he goes, yes, at the end there. That's woken you up. Yeah. So the whole psalm, then, is an amazing expression of his commitment, adoration and worship of the God that he had served from his youth. We've had a fair bit on the news about a rapidly becoming famous teenager, haven't we? Greta Thunberg. David was a bit the same sort of age, probably, when he took on Goliath. He was very young. He could well have been still a teenager. He took on that step of faith to take on Goliath in the name of the God of Israel. The two of them up against each other looked a cert for Goliath to win. But God had other ideas. David would never have forgotten that. He knows that God is a God who can give victory. So, how does this relate to us a couple of days before a new year? Maybe a time of considering new year resolutions, new beginnings, doing a bit better than we have done, and so on. So for me, and I will share it with you, praying that it will challenge and encourage you as it has me, it is a challenge on how to approach prayer, how I approach prayer. Mainly personal prayer, but I think it's probably also relevant to our prayer times in various groups as a church and elsewhere. So prayer is conversation. David only says the words I five times in 21 verses. 20 small print this. 21 verses, yes. I am often in far too much of a hurry in approaching God. Too familiar, forgetting, or omitting to approach God in awe and reverence and realization, because he is the Almighty God. And I certainly find I tend sometimes to rush into his presence, taking it for granted that he's there and with his pen ready, as it were, to see what problems I'm coming up with this time. And this challenged me very much. Those first two verses, David says, I will exalt you. I will praise your name. Every day I will praise you. And then in 5, I will meditate on your wonderful works. I will proclaim your great deeds. Even when he speaks at himself, for himself, he's focusing on God. I find it all too easy to focus on the problems I'm bringing, quite often. And that is not the example that David is setting us here. The whole, really, of these 20 verses mentions God in every single verse, in one way or another. It's all focused on him, his works, his greatness, his compassion, his provision, and more, lots more. Too often, I think we just, speaking for myself, I just dive in with whatever's on my mind at the time. If we do that to people, or they do it to us, it seems rather inept. Not polite, and, well, I know I do it to God quite a lot. Perhaps particularly if we're responding to somebody asking for prayer in a difficult situation. We go straight in and straight to it. At least I sometimes do. Or if we have something else on our minds as well, we perhaps start by bringing the new situation to God and then going back to the old one that's still working away in the back there. We trust that he will guide or act or help or whatever's needed. And it's all a bit of a rush, rather like that sentence. God is outside time. He has, in a way, that advantage. We are in it, and it tends to rule us too much. Something else occurs to me. How often do we, as David is doing here, spend time praising God, just praising him? The whole of this psalm, from the beginning of verse 1 to the end of 21, is praise. The whole of it. Sometimes we start in praise, but then we get on to the problems we want to involve God in and move on to those. We need to remember to be aware of his greatness, his majesty, his power, to think through with awe his power, his splendour, before taking up the huge privilege of bringing him all our concerns, which may seem huge to us. They are huge to us. And he somehow manages to take them on board. Goodness knows how. We can't imagine how he does it. But they seem very big to us, and they take over from looking at him. His majesty, his power, the amazingness of his interest in us. We forget even the privilege of being in his presence and rejoicing that he's made that door into his presence through Jesus' birth and, of course, his death on the cross and resurrection. Just a slight step aside from that which came to my mind when I was thinking this through. The old mnemonic Acts, A-C-T-S. How many of you remember that one? Quite a few, probably. There are others around, but that's the one that I've always had stuck in my mind. Standing for adoration, or praise or worship. Confession, thanksgiving, and supplication or asking. In that order. This psalm is full of the adoration section, which is possibly one of the ones we tend to go a bit short on. It focuses us on God, his character, his power, his love, his patience, and so much else that makes it amazing and beyond our full understanding that he is there for us and waiting for us to come to him in prayer. And it's thanksgiving comes next, sorry, confession comes next. Another one we tend to forget sometimes when we come to God with problems, with needs and so on. David knew about that one too, as we mentioned earlier. And then there's thanksgiving. Difference between thanksgiving and praise? They're close, aren't they? But there are differences. Those of you who were here with Martin will remember his phrase for that. What was it?
Attitude of gratitude.
Attitude of gratitude, yep. Attitude of gratitude was one that Martin taught us faithfully. To bring our thanks to God. So this psalm is 21 verses where David is lost in worship and adoration. 21 verses of thoughtful, humble, openly excited in places and honest praise or adoration of the God he served day by day. And as such a wonderful pattern for us to bear in mind is what he gives us. How often, I wonder, do we even start by focusing on God? It's too easy to just rush in, full of our own issues, but minimally aware, consciously, that this is God Almighty to whom we have come. He is our God, he is the God of creation, of all people, of all situations. We strive to serve the Almighty God, who is beyond human understanding and yet came as Jesus to help us to understand him. Yet he wants us to pray, to talk with him, to tell him how we feel, even though he knows already. What a privilege. How often do we use it rightly, or misuse it, or neglect it? His greatness and our fallibility together make it likely, in fact certain, that we have a long way to go. And that further consideration of this psalm and how it speaks to us in the year ahead would be an act of obedience and a response to his love, certainly for me, maybe for you too. Amen.